Good afternoon, Little Saigon, Seattle. Got a little bit of a cough here. A little bit of a sore throat. Shit. Good afternoon, Little Saigon, Seattle. Good afternoon to everybody out there in, I don't know, fucking, yeah. To all you folks out there in Michigan. Good afternoon to the people of St. Louis. Good afternoon to Florida. Good afternoon to New Mexico and Arizona. Good afternoon to the people of Mexico. It is right around 3:30 p.m. on January the 26th, Sunday, 2020. Got a little bit of the sniffles. Got a little bit of the sniffles. Got a little bit of a sore throat, but I don't think it's anything. Now, here's the truth. I did wake up with a little bit of a sore throat this morning, but let's do some full disclosure and some reasoning here. there are at least two or three explanations for Uncle Dan having a sore throat. One of which includes, you know, vaping marijuana, which can sometimes give you a sore throat. So yeah, I think that maybe I don't have the Corona Mexican bat virus yet. But I gotta tell you folks, things out there getting kind of squishy, a little weird. Don't want to go into too much detail, but I've experienced a few events in the last couple days that leads me to believe a lot of people, they're anxious about the fucking Mexican bat virus. And the Mexican beer bat virus, it's terrible, the coronavirus. It started in a bar in Wuhan, China. A person was drinking a Corona and having sex with a bat. And what happened next was monstrous, really. Indeed, the Mexican bat Corona beer virus is coming to a theater near you. I was talking to a couple friends today, and I will tell you what I told one of them at least. I think it's 50-50 at this point. This virus might be something you should be concerned about, or it might not be. I think it's 50-50. It's kind of like I told the dude. I said, listen, if it's not too much money, go get a 20-pound bag of rice. Go get a 20-pound bag of dried beans. Go get as much long-term food, like food that will stay good for 3, 4, 5, 6 months as you can afford. Just not too much. Don't overdo it. But maybe enough food that theoretically you could live a month or two. For a single person, depending upon how you budget it, that might be somewhere between 100 and 300 bucks. Some people can do it really cheap. You know, they'll buy like a bazillion cases of Top Ramen. Yes, it's horrific, but that and some bottles of vitamins and you'll probably make it. You might get cancer 3 years later, but you'll make it. So if I were out there right now, I would hedge my bets. My instincts tell me this is 50-50. It could be a real threat that will cause real problems. And folks, for this to cause real problems, people don't have to get sick. All they have to do, excuse me, is worry about getting sick, which means they stop going to work, they stop shopping, they stop driving their car very much, they're not going to go to restaurants, they won't go to bars. You see where this is heading. Oh yeah, and open houses. You know those open houses where you're going to sell your house in Magnolia for $3 million? I don't think people go to a lot of open houses if they think they might get infected. Yeah. So I don't know, folks. I think it's 50-50. I think half of me thinks that you should at least do something to prepare for this. And what does that mean? Well, yeah, if you can get a face mask, get some of those, although I've heard those have been selling out, and I don't know how much of that is bullshit. But as important as a face mask, and maybe even more important, because no face mask is perfect, is to set up a situation where you don't have to leave your house for a few weeks. Because if this got bad enough, there might be a few weeks where it's shelter in place, where, you know what, there's a curfew, movement outside is controlled, there are checkpoints, if they think you're infected. If they just think you're infected, you get to go to the camp. You get to go wherever they're putting the infected people. And guess what? If you weren't actually infected, you might get infected there and die. So the smartest thing you can do, other than get those little masks, is just set yourself up so you can survive 60 to 90 days without going anywhere. Now, me, currently, because I ate into my survival budget a bit in the last few months, I think I could eke out a month, maybe 6 weeks at this point. And if I purchase a few more of the right items in the next couple weeks, maybe it would be more like 2 months again, something like that. A month might be long enough. It might not be. It really depends. I don't know, folks. If this is bullshit, then we're going to know pretty soon. And if this is real, I think we're going to know pretty soon. I remember with the Ebola scare, and I'm bringing this up for comparison. I remember with the Ebola scare back in 2014, there were a few weeks where people were like, oh shit, this is going to be whatever, it's going to be terrible, blah, blah, blah. And the fact is, it didn't really turn out to be anything threatening to us. I mean, yeah, it killed a lot of people in Africa, but it didn't really do anything here. The problem is, though, Ebola is a different beast. Ebola becomes very obvious very quickly. That's one of the reasons why, as horrific as Ebola is, in some ways, it's less dangerous to have Ebola be the dangerous pathogen than something like what this fucking, you know, coronavirus looks like. A virus that can kill you and can incapacitate you. Okay, so let's say it has a high likelihood of incapacitating you for a week. It has a secondary likelihood of, let's say, 5 to 10% of killing you. And dependent upon your demographic, it might be closer to 50%. And on top of it, you're going to be contagious for maybe 1 to 2 weeks before you ever get sick. So you're going to be making other people sick or other people infected before you ever show any signs of being demonstrably sick. That is actually way worse than Ebola. Maybe it doesn't end up being as lethal as Ebola, but the lethality of a pandemic isn't just about the underlying virus or bacterium. It's about all the syndromes that come into existence. It's about the breakdown of healthcare. It's about the fact that things can go really sideways. So yeah, you just don't want to think about the fucking virus itself. It's kind of like that conversation about wounded on the battlefield. All things being equal, wounded on the battlefield take a lot more resources than dead. So as bad as it is for people to simply die, it's the wounded and the sick that have to be taken care of, or they will die. They'll get dehydrated. They will stroke out. They'll die. They'll have heart attacks. That's the thing about a severe respiratory syndrome or a severe flu, is that the virus itself doesn't necessarily kill you. It's how your body reacts to it. And do you have someone in your life that if you got sick, they would get you, you know, water and food? And also that they're not themselves sick. So I don't know, people. If I were you, I would treat this 50-50 for now. 50% chance you should give a shit. Just as likely you shouldn't. It's just more fucking noise to sift through, and it's not very helpful. Anyways, I went to Chevron today because we're going to probably talk more about the virus, but I went to Chevron today, and the younger guy was there, The younger guy was there, and the radio was on, and he was listening to what I can only describe as really angry ethnic music. And I know, Dan, that sounds racist. Well, maybe. But it seemed angry, and it seemed like he was angry, and the guy doesn't like me. I can tell. It's like he'll never give me paper bags. Here's the thing. Some of the guys there who work there, I'll go. They know I'm a good customer. They know I keep returning. And they'll give me a good paper bag, the kind of paper bag that doesn't fall apart, okay? But this guy and another joker, for whatever reason, they don't like me. And I don't know. Maybe it's because they've been radicalized by the radio. Maybe the radio has convinced them to become, fuse head people, Charlie Hebdo, fucking turban head explosive guy. I don't know. I get those dirty looks, I wonder. And you're going to say, well, Dan, you just hate Muslims. And it's like, no, I don't. I don't actually know any to hate them. But what I'm seeing in this particular circumstance is this weird kind of behavior. And again, he gives me the really shitty paper bags. And today he was just kind of snotty. So I don't know what to tell you, folks. That Chevron station, I'm thinking that on day zero, I'm thinking that if Uncle Dan goes to that Chevron station and they think they can get away with it, he's never coming home. They've already decided what they're going to do. They're going to open up a gyro shop. Day zero, gyro. Don't be a zero. Have a gyro. Yeah, folks, if I visit the Chevron station on day zero, I think there's a good chance I end up as the gyro. I end up on the fucking spit, on the fucking whatever you want to call it, the fucking kebab rack, the fucking pike, and I'm spinning around on the fucking spit, and they're cutting off pieces of me and giving you your fucking pita bread, and you're saying, holy shit, I've never felt this good before. And the thing is, folks, I don't have any tattoos, so or any noticeable, piercings. So, for other than my circumcised you-know-what, which I consider to be a kind of ritualistic child abuse, motherfuckers, other than that, and I would hope nobody eats that, fuck. Yeah, I think that if I go to the Chevron station on day zero, I end up becoming the gyro. Yes, I'm the gyro meat in your pita sandwich, in your Eastern Mediterranean, Middle Eastern keto style, cucumber and sour cream, 100% Dan, 100% real, 100% healthy, 100% keto, for you. Yeah, I can imagine them opening up their happy, angry Muslim gyro shop where they get to play their happy, angry Muslim music. And they'll serve me up. And so I'm not going there on day zero. I'm not going there. No. So let's read an update. This is depressing bullshit. But let's go to Zero Hedge and get a scientific factual update on the current state of the situation. And here is the headline. And this was published on Zero Hedge basically a number of hours ago, today, a few hours ago. Headline, Center for Disease Control calls COV, and that's the coronavirus, quote unquote, serious emerging public health threat, confirms fifth U.S. case. Fuck. Five people have the gumbus. Five people have the virus. What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? Five people are infected. All over the United States, man. What the fuck are we gonna do? What the fuck are we gonna do? So here are the updates. Like I said, there have been five quote-unquote confirmed cases confirmed by the Center for Disease Control in four states, Arizona, California, Illinois, and Washington State. Kind of surprised Little Saigon is still as peaceful as it is. The CDC calls the virus an emerging public health threat. Well, that's vague. Adding that the threat is serious. Well, that's fucking serious. 2,082 confirmed cases worldwide with 56 official deaths. The incubation period is asymptomatic and contagious and can last as much as 14 days. Fuck. 5 million Chinese people and other people may have left Wuhan for Lunar New Year before any type of quarantine began, fuck. The first case of this terrible bat Mexican beer virus was not December 31st, but actually the 1st of December, so the infected population may be gigantor. U.S., Russia, Thailand begin plans for evacuating people from Wuhan and other locations in China. Premier Li Keqiang charged with leading government's task force. Well, that's good. That doesn't really tell us anything, but at least some fucking tyrant's in charge. And last but not least, as an update, three hospitals in Beijing. That's three. That's Trace. Not Quattro. Trace hospitals in Beijing, China are currently using AIDS drugs to fight the illness in its acute form. Yes, the idea is these drugs interfere with the virus and its behaviors. Sounds like a fucking wild-ass attempt, but who knows, maybe it'll work. Sounds a lot like the fucking, you know, cigarette cure for the 2014 Ebola. The magical tobacco cigarette cure. Just roll up a cigarette there, pal, and smoke it, you'll be fine. You know, I would probably take that cure if they'd put it in a fucking cigarette. Yeah, so there's the update. There's the situation on the ground. Here in Seattle, it is currently raining from a gray, dark, nasty, fucking blotted, bleached out, nasty fucking sky. But it's some kind of rain coming down. Who knows? Who knows? Could be a hard rain that's fallen soon for those of us, the rest of us, when you think about it. Could be a real hard rain falling on all of us. Let's see if there are any other fucking headlines here. Oh, now there's an update. It looks like It's 80 fatalities. Holy shit. 80 fatalities now confirmed. Holy fuck. Then again, that doesn't really sound like a very busy day for the United States Air Force and its drone program. So let's beat the drones first. And then we should get afraid of the virus, right? Crude oil's crashing. I wonder why. But really, how far is it crashing? Let's check out the price. Because keep in mind, a barrel of oil for a very long time in the 90s was like 15 bucks, right? Back in the 90s. Yep, Brent is back below 60, and WTI, West Texas Intermediate, which keep in mind, this is shittier oil than Brent as well. It's not the same quality. It's around 51. Well, that's good news, right? Cheap oil means you can do cheap oil shit, like have a cheap oil war and cheap oil whores and all kinds of things. Romney is siding with Democrats. Very likely I'll be in favor of witnesses. And you may or may not know this, but Kobe Bryant died. Kobe Bryant died today in a helicopter crash. There is a great tragedy in the loss of this basketball superhero. Kobe Bryant's helicopter exploded when it came under the attack of flying Mexican beer bats. He was trying to deliver a vaccine to a hospital but couldn't make it in time. If you can imagine that scene from Omega Man with Charlton Heston and the helicopter pilot gets sick and fuck, and then the helicopter crashes. If you can imagine that is very likely what happened. I don't know. I don't know what happened. But what I can tell you is Kobe is dead. We got more fear articles on Zero Hedge. Oh yeah, rocket attack on the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. Folks, you ever wonder if this whole Baghdad situation is just going to go really crazy, really fast? One day we're going to wake up and we're going to hear, holy shit, this is like people leaving Saigon back in 1975. This is the fucking retreat from Saigon. This is the airlift. Shit. Can you imagine waking up and they're just doing that? They're just bringing people onto fucking aircraft carriers and getting the fuck out because all of the Iraqis are basically coming over the walls. I know you say, Dan, that'll never happen. Well, it did happen to us in Vietnam. And it does happen to empires periodically. So it does happen. Saying it will never happen is kind of inaccurate, I would think. Of course, you could say America's perfect. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how you keep that one consistent, my friend. It's kind of like the America's intelligence services did not function correctly before 9/11. We had all the fucking information, but nothing was done. And then the answer is, therefore, we should give them more money and more power because they're so fucking incompetent. You know, it's funny, too big to fail applies to everything these days, including the fucking government. Every time the government screws up, the answer everyone comes up with is more money. And it's not just Democrats, it's Republicans too. Their fucking pet project are all these stupid fucking wars. We need more money for missiles, tanks, small arms ammo. We need those new rifles. Have you seen those new 6.8 millimeter rifles? Those are cool. What fucking pornography for people into assault weapons? And yes, those would be assault weapons, especially the ones that have what look to be, sabot rounds. It looks like some of them have basically armor-piercing capabilities. So yeah, that's interesting. A fucking squad-level machine gun that can fire sabot projectiles, which, yeah, in theory, could easily pierce through an armored vehicle and maybe even do some damage to a lot of, late period Soviet tanks. So yeah, T-72 meet magical fucking machine gun. That'd be interesting. Here's the thing to keep in mind. I live in Little Saigon, Seattle. One of the reasons why, not the only reason, but one of the reasons why you have relatively large Vietnamese communities in places like Seattle is because I think, and it was 1975, the South Vietnamese government imploded and the United States had to withdraw not just what it had left of military forces in South Vietnam, but it basically took as many people as it could. In fact, a lot of these people came to be known as boat people because they loaded into boats and they headed out to the flotilla to be saved. And I get it, okay? If you listen to the Little Saigon Report, you know this. I hate communists. Pinochet has nothing on me in terms of hating communism and communists. Now, of course, his solution to communism is like so many that are in the military, basically militaristic communism. But my solution is, why don't we don't have none of it? That's because I'm an anarchist. You know, that's how we roll. Yeah, the last time something like this happened was 1975, I think. The last time you could watch the news and watch as an American ally and its society was imploding, and you had to basically watch as those allies of America have to be quickly evacuated. Now, unlike that situation, I don't know that we have many people on our side in Iraq, really. I mean, I know we have people that we brought in. I know the Israelis and the United States and Saudi Arabia have foreign mercenaries in Iraq, but actual Iraqis, I think most of them want us fucking gone. Most of them probably think, rightly so, that the net effect of what we did was negative, that Saddam Hussein, for all of his fucking warts, would have been better than the last fucking almost 20 years of chaos and really terrible situations and a really crappy economy and being totally taken advantage of by foreign corporations, and then having magical little armies just pop up, like 2014, when Obama's magical little ISIS army, Obama and Israel's magical little ISIS army, Obama, Israel, and Saudi Arabia, and they just magicked into existence with brand new, you know, 5.56 chambered carbines, machine guns, 7.62, and a bunch of brand new Toyota pickups. That was just magical bullshit, though, right? You should just ignore it. Anyways, I think most Iraqis have had their fill of our bullshit. So the situation in Baghdad could go sideways really fast. I mean, what do I mean? Listen, I don't know how many mercenaries and soldiers we have inside the compound. I mean, from what I've been told, the compound, the Green Zone, is bigger than Vatican City. So they could probably hold a brigade or maybe even almost a division of troops inside of there if they had to. So I don't know how many they have, but it's probably not more than a division, and it's probably a lot less. In fact, my guess is they probably have troops that are in some ways relatively similarly configured to the Marines who guarded the barracks during the Boxer Rebellion. Oh my God. Yeah. You ever see that movie? What was it? 55 Days in Peking or something? Let me look that up really quick. I'll look it up so I don't fuck it up. Heston Boxer Rebellion. Yeah, there we go. There's one movie he made about that. 55 Days in Peking. That movie came out in 1963. 55 Days in Peking. Yep. That movie came out in 19 fucking...
I suppose you know all hell's going to break loose here.
Charlton Heston, Ava Gardner, and David Niven star in this epic story of the Boxer Rebellion in China. men cut off from help, diplomats and soldiers set aside their differences and join together to survive.
Yeah, okay, I'm not going to play this because I wasn't really prepared to, and I think the audio probably sounded like shit. But anyways, there's a movie, a Charlton Heston movie. It's actually a pretty good one, and I gotta say, a not a bad movie to watch and then think about the situation in Baghdad. Yeah, 55 days in Peking. Wow. So yeah, this rocket attack is nothing. It's nothing right now. It's nothing until it's something. But then imagine if you have a million Iraqis and maybe a third of them have rifles. And they're all kind of going after the fucking barracks. And they got Molotov cocktails and rifles. They mean business. They start shelling mortars 24 hours a day. I think we're probably going to have to leave, folks. And the only question is, do we leave in a way that has any fucking honor at all? Or do we leave in the way that a fucking crooked piece of shit leaves? And that is set everything on fire and drop a bunch of bombs and pollute, and leave some mines behind and some poisons and then leave. I hope we do the former. I hope we show a modicum of honor and we just fucking leave. Do I think we're going to do that? I know what happened in Vietnam. And yes, we did the best we could, but really, we also did tremendous damage in Southeast Asia with bombings and Agent Orange and other stuff during that period of time. You know, we did a lot of harm. There's a lot of harm still being suffered in Southeast Asia today because of what we did during the Vietnam War. And I know you're going to say, well, Dan, they didn't know that Agent Orange was poisonous. I know, they were just, you know, PhDs in chemistry, right? And in the United States of America, I mean, what the fuck would they know vis-a-vis communists, right? I think they knew that the Agent Orange was poisonous. I think they knew it was poisonous. I think they knew it would cause birth defects. I think they hoped it would kill more people. Yeah, I don't know if I want to keep reading these fucking headlines or not. You know, this podcast, it wasn't really necessary. There's a lot of bullshit here about the same topic. Some Chinese nurse says 90,000 are already infected. Folks, I know, but you know, I remember, you remember the young woman in 1990 talking about the babies being tossed out of incubators. So whenever I see this news, I have to remind myself, yeah, this could be a real Chinese nurse, and it also could be total bullshit. It's hard to say. It's really hard to say. You know, the good news about some of the things facing us right now is I think we can scratch some of them off the list in the next 5 years. For example, I think World War III is not going to be an option indefinitely. I think at some point in the near future, they're either going to have World War III, or the people of the world are simply going to be tired of funding something they can't afford, and that is the military-industrial complex. So I kind of think if they don't pull off World War III in the next 5 years, I kind of think it's not going to happen. That's number one. With respect to the whole, and I've discussed this one before, with respect to the whole Arctic methane release event, the quote-unquote clathrate gun, or what some people call the Shakova event, because Shakova is the researcher, the professor, who's done a lot of the analysis of the Eastern Siberian Arctic Shelf and the methane deposits there. I think we're going to know this summer whether that's real or not. Now that you should approach that with some trepidation, because I really do think so. I think we're going to know this summer if the stuff going on is hugely catastrophic or just slightly annoying. And I think we're also going to probably get some revelations about geoengineering. Because as much as I believe that Dane Wigington, who does a lot of activism here, as much as I think he's legit and concerned and trying his best, I'm still not totally convinced, folks. You know, if you listen to me and think that I'm some robot android follower of the Al Gores and the Greta Thunbergs of the world, I'm not. In fact, those people creep me the fuck out. They do. They totally creep me out. I don't think they're legit even remotely. However, just because they're not legit doesn't tell you the fucking truth. And the fact is, if you really deconstruct it, you end up with a scary answer. You really do. I have never heard of a government having a program to make funny things funnier. It's never been a thing. But throughout history, governments have used fools to make serious issues look foolish. And so I know I say this a lot, but I think it bears repeating because people are being suckered, I think. This Greta Thunberg thing is a kind of grift. It's a con. But the problem is, I don't know that if we know which direction the grift is in. My instincts tell me that given historical facts, the most likely answer is the situation's far worse, or maybe even just as bad as the little fool says. Or Al Gore, the bigger, older fool. All those fools yelling and screaming, you know, fucking Ocasio-Cortez, the bartender economist at the House of Representatives. She says we have 10 years. I guess now we have 9, maybe 8. She said 10 years a couple years ago, so I guess we have 8 years left. Yeah, these people sound crazy, and they sound like fools, and that's on purpose. The one thing you'll notice, James Hansen, who is probably of everyone who has raised the alarm, Professor James Hansen of the University of Washington is probably the most authoritative and the most trusted academician and researcher in this field. So I see little Greta Thunberg running around. I think to myself, holy fuck. If I saw James Hansen going up and saying, you know, we got 10 years left if we don't do something, and here's why, As counterintuitive as this sounds, I'd actually be less concerned, because that means they want us, they really, really do want us to be worried about something that you don't need to be worried about. James Hansen is the guy you pull out to sell to adults, is my point. You might sell Barbie dolls using Greta Thunberg, or you might sell little environmentally themed cartoons. But if you actually want to sell serious policy, James Hansen's the guy that you would have talking about this. And in my view, that would immediately mean, given the nature of government, that this is bullshit. The fact that James Hansen, other than publishing, has been eerily silent is worrisome, because he has been there. He has been discussing Arctic methane, global dimming, some of these non-linear positive feedback scenarios for more than 10 years. He's been talking about this since the early 2000s. People have known about the clathrate gun for almost 20 years. People have talked about it. If James Hansen were up talking about it, I'd kind of think, yeah, the powers that be want us to be worried. They're serious about it. Ergo, probably there isn't anything to worry about. The fact that they put these fucking clowns up there, that kind of worries me. So I don't know what the deal is, right? Oh, these headlines are ridiculous. I think I should stop. Ugh. N95 virus masks sell out across the U.S., Great, Great. I wonder if this article is being funded by people that manufacture these masks. Basically, it looks like your N95 masks, a 16-time increase. Wow. From $40 to almost $700 in about a week. Wow. People are getting fucking stressed out about this, folks. I don't know what to tell you. I know you'd say, Dan, you know, what if this is real? What if this is serious? And all I can tell you is, I don't know. I wish I could give you a better answer, but the fact is, I'm just another schmuck like you. Another schmuck in the snow globe, and I want to pretend I have some way out to understand the truth. But all I really have is a few square miles in Little Saigon. And whatever data I get from, like, Zero Hedge, right? Fucking Zero Hedge, fuck. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm all over the place here. Had a weird day. Got kind of freaked out about something that in retrospect I probably got too freaked out about. But that led me to believe that despite my own sarcastic, cynical attitude, I'm a little bit on edge too. So let's talk about the coming week. Well, one thing, there's going to be a time travel podcast that AJ and I are going to do. We'll hopefully do it on Tuesday. I think it could be a couple hours, so we may break it up into two parts. Or we might not, you know, 2 hours of fucking podcast. That sounds like a Saturday party in Hermitville. Yep. For all you hermits out there, get out your whiskey because we're going to talk about time travel next week. And how to build your own hobo time machine without shocking yourself to death, without electrocution. Yes, here at the Little Saigon Report, we fully support time machines that do not electrocute. Yeah, here's the thing. I've been joking about this virus up until today. And even today, in my earlier podcast, I was kind of joking about it. Like, oh, ha ha ha, the zombies are walking the streets and the pus and the blood. But what if there comes a point in the near future where this thing that seems like a joke to me right now becomes quite real? I live in the International District. Now, let me tell you something. It's called international because, well, it's kind of international. And we have a lot of Asian people. That's cool. I love Asian people. And a lot of people from China, and I hate to break it to you, probably a lot of people from China who are coming off the container ship and not coming off, quote-unquote, the airplane, which means a lot of illegal immigrants from China, yeah. How do you track them for the virus? this might not be a joke. And if it's not a joke, then at some point in the near future, I think there's a fairly good chance. Like, if this isn't a joke, like, let's say this is real and this is spreading because it's real and yeah, it's asymptomatic while you're contagious, which means fuck. In all likelihood, Uncle Dan already has the Trimulac, which means I have three problems. I have too much gombozoid. I have frivium inside of my sphincter. I have massive oil buildup in my gumbic sacs. Dr. Grunkus says you can drain these using a metal spike. It doesn't have to be sanitary. Dr. Grunkus says that you can usually use a nail or a screw or a used hypodermic needle from the sidewalk. Dr. Grunkus has convinced me that if I get this virus, the only recommended thing to do is to make a terrible mixture, a tonic of the Scentiva toilet bowl cleaner. Mix in with that about a half a gallon of high-grade gasoline from Chevron. Add in about two or three full teaspoons of vinegar. And then chop up a bunch of really, really strong jalapenos. Mix that in too. Once you've turned that sludge into a slurry, once you've stirred it in a hurry, once you've mixed it into your afternoon curry, you need to consume the whole thing. This will take care of the virus. This will take care of the disease. This is what's gonna cure you, baby. This will cure you for good. Now, of course, Dr. Grunkus is not legally licensed in the United States of America, nor are any of the medical procedures discussed on the Little Saigon Report recommended for creatures to include French bulldogs. Even French bulldogs, as much as we despise them, we will not use the techniques of Dr. Grunkus on a French bulldog. But for a middle-aged, burned-out computer programmer, hermit slash pothead slash dudist, that's right, I'm probably a dudist, like fucking Lebowski. Yes, for people like me, that mixture, that curry, that magical slurry, that's good enough for the likes of us. Indeed, folks, indeed. When you think about the path, the direction, the intensity, the outcomes of the universe and all of the mixtures of particles and ancient Greeces, do you ever marvel at the creatures that crawl out of the muck? Do you ever marvel at the ancient beasts who once roamed the earth? Do you ever wonder about the ancient 20-foot-tall peacocks? You ever wonder about the time worms of the ancient epic of the Hordemic Knights? I don't know. I think that if I have the disease, I will probably be filled with parasites by Wednesday. By Thursday, I will have to struggle to crawl my way to Dr. Grunkus and his Midnight Alley treatment clinic. Hopefully, he will cut me open and bleed me out of all the parasites and the gumbus and the smoke and the nails and the broken glass and the asbestos. Hopefully, he will rid me of the mercury and the PFAS and all the other crumfractula and all of the other stuff, like the fucking metal shavings, fuck. Hopefully Dr. Grunkus will purify me and purify my heart. Hopefully Dr. Grunkus will show me the way to perfect health. I love you, Dr. Grunkus. You're my role model. And if I make it through this fever, if Dr. Grunkus and his magical cures, if his treatments and his skewers, if his poking and his prodding and his drilling manages to improve me, if this time he convinces me to allow him to stick his metal fucking bushing up my butthole and spin it at 50 RPM, maybe 500 RPM, and that helps me too. I might make it through this. And a lot of you will wonder, what did you learn, Dan, from the Great Plague of 2020? And I'll say I learned a little bit about life. I learned a lot about death. I learned that some of the things I knew about people were true. Some of the things I knew about people were wrong. If you survived the Great Plague of 2020, what will you tell your children and your grandchildren? Will you tell them that you were the one out there in the streets yelling and screaming, "Bring out your dead. Bring out your dead. Bring out your dead. Bring out your dead. The bus is coming. We're taking the dead and the dying to the meat processing plant, the Taco Time meat processing plant in Bothell. Don't ask what we're doing with them, but would you like a taco? Don't ask what's happening to the bodies, but would you like a brand new fucking deep fried burrito? Please, please don't ask what's in the burrito. But would you like one? Free burrito time. Taco time all month long. You get a free coupon if you drop your body off yourself. Free coupon for taco time. Yeah, you can have a free coupon for Taco Time if you drive your grandpa, grandma, mom, or dad, or family member to the body dump. They might be dead. They might be dying. They'll tell you in the news, please, 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 bring your dead to the body dump. At the body dump, we'll sort them out. We'll weigh them. We'll determine their quality, and you will get a coupon. You'll get a coupon for Taco Time. But please don't ask what's in the brand new Macho Time burrito. Please don't ask about the special ingredient. We call it carnitas. You can call it carnitas too. Yeah, I don't know, folks. If this thing gets bad and I find myself slowly dying of the disease, then really, I'll have only myself to blame. I was given plenty of warning. I mocked and I joked. I made fun of a serious issue. And because of that, in the ancient annals of my broken, pathetic existence, it shall be listed Dan died because he thought that the fucking Mexican beer bat virus was a fucking joke. It wasn't a joke. Many people died in 2020, to include Dan. It's not a fucking joke. If you listen to this podcast and you enjoy it, if you listen to this podcast and you are currently not on the run from various tribes and clans and gangs, if you listen to this podcast and you have some extra money, you've taken care of your food, your water, your shelter, you've stocked up for the plague year, and after doing the things you need to do for the people you love, and taking care of those people first, and you still have money left? And if, in addition to all those statements being true, you also like this podcast, there's a link to Venmo and PayPal on my SoundCloud homepage. And you can get there by just typing in imsully.com into your fucking browser. There's also a link to Venmo and PayPal in the description notes area of this individual podcast. For this Sunday, January the 26th, 2020, I'm going to say this in all serious: be safe, be careful. Be weary and wary. Just because you read something in the newspaper or see something posted on Twitter or Facebook, don't immediately assume it's true. Be careful about that information you consume. Yes, you might get infected by the virus, but you know what's almost as bad? To be infected by the crazy. And I've been infected by crazy before. I've never had the crabs. I can imagine it's just as bad. Yeah, so be safe out there and get yourself a 20-pound bag of rice if you can afford it, and maybe some dried beans and probably some seasoning that will allow you to eat a rather bland diet for 60 days. That's what I would recommend. It won't be too expensive on a per-person basis. On the other hand, you could just buy a couple cases of beer. That's what Uncle Dan would do. Buy yourself about 17 cases of beer. Buy yourself 25 cases of fucking chili and fucking kidney beans, canned. Buy yourself, like, I don't know, a few hundred pounds of fucking noodles and shit. And get yourself that fucking, that curry mix from Grocery Outlet. Sure, it's probably terrible and contains all sorts of things like asbestos, but it's tasty.